Welcome, dumbheads, to MDC, Mega Dumbcast. In this podcast, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Ninjas and Super Spies to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is the revised Ninjas and Super Spies 7th printing from May 2000. Today we're discussing page 131 of Ninjas and Super Spies. We're continuing our look at the glossary of combat terms today, and the word of the day is evolution. We've come a long way since we began talking about martial arts styles in Ninjas and Super Spies. We've delved very deep into the martial arts rules, and we've got quite an arsenal of weird tricks and strange rules under our belts. This is about the point in reading Ninjas and Super Spies, if you're reading it as closely as I am, that you're going to know some things that your GM doesn't know, and they're going to begin to click together for you. You're going to be able to take some revenge for the pain you've suffered, because you're going to be able to do things now, combining all these various odd bits of lore that most godforsaken players of Ninjas and Super Spies can only dream of. To show you how far we've come, to show you how far we have evolved, I'm going to bring back an old character from the podcast, and I'm going to reveal to you his ultimate technique. Call to mind page 98, True Believers. The episode for that page was entitled, Why Yes, I Am Familiar with Mauls. In that episode, we discussed a goober martial artist, a dedicated martial artist, who was raised in isolation and knows nothing of modern society, but who has mastered both Horangdo and Mugi Gong, two martial arts that are respectively boring and awesome separately, but are super awesome and not boring together. They interlock. And the result is a character who has no concept of or patience for your popular music, your electronic technology, your post-industrial society, but who sees the world as basically one gigantic pegboard of badass ninja weapons. This character can pick up anything at hand and destroy people with it. And we talked about what it would be like for a character like this to walk around in, let's say, a strip mall with no idea of what the things around him are, but his brain virtually effervescent with ideas of how to kill with the mysterious objects around him. So that was a great first outing for Strip Mall Warrior. That was Strip Mall Warrior 1. That was Strip Mall Warrior Year 1, The Adventure Begins. But let's put like 4 levels on that guy. Let's talk about a level 5 Strip Mall Warrior, who can take advantage of the rules that we've learned in this glossary of combat terms. First of all, this very page describes the leap attack. Leap attack is a move where you leap toward your foe, you hit with a weapon or a fist, and you get an automatic critical hit. It's your first and only attack of the melee round, but it's a crit. So all right, free crit, good for us. But our rules mastery goes much deeper than that. Back on page 128, under the entry for critical strike, we get rules for combining criticals. You can use a power that makes a strike into a critical strike on a strike that's already a critical strike to give an additional damage multiplier. This is information we can use in our quest for the ultimate attack for Strip Mall Warrior. You may recall from our discussion of diving ass first into combat that Horangdo, and in fact Mugi Gong, give you the ability to do critical strikes from behind. No need to roll a natural 20. If you can hit the tender back of someone's head, then you can punk them out like the filthy Sontaran swine that they are. So all right, we're looking for a leap attack from behind. You may recall the Kime Kata, which is useless when faced with a bar and grill full of kung fu haters, but is useful for offense when you're doubling a single attack or damage roll, and you're focusing all your chi on one thing. So we'll do Kime, we'll get another multiplier to damage. This is really stacking up. But we need the cherry on top, the proverbial cherry on top, or maybe the literal cherry on top. Who knows? It's Mugi Gong. You can kill someone with anything. In fact, this weapon talk puts us in mind of our old favorite, wait for it, one life, one shot, one hit, one kill. With this technique, using a weapon, we can once again get a critical hit if we spend a full minute just stalking our foe, which is what we're going to do here. We're going for one ultimate attack. So Strip Mall Warrior is looking pretty good here. He's doubling his damage for the leap. He's adding another multiplier for hitting from behind, another one for one, you know, that martial arts technique, and then another one for Kime. Now all we need is a base maneuver. Now we need a weapon for this attack, and sure, we could kill someone with one dramatic pencil stab or one dramatic key ring gouge, like a no-talent chump. But that's not who we are. Not anymore. This is not the days of Strip Mall Warrior 1. This is Strip Mall Warrior 2, Fall Into the Gap. We're going to kill people in style, and we're going to use our level 4 ability to choke people with found flexible objects. You can't try to kill someone with a chain that you brought to the fight. That's gauche. You got to kill someone with a flexible object that you found right in the kill zone. And we can do that at a strip mall. For example, at a store like The Gap. You stalk your foe, you wait until they walk by The Gap, and then you grab a little knit sweater, or you grab a fleece, and then you walk behind them for a full minute. You're getting your kime up, getting your legs ready for jumping, doing some stretches, preparing to use one life, one shot, one hit, one kill to slay your foe with this one leaping rear sweater choke. And you will inflict, with all your multipliers, 1d4, 2d4, 3d4, 4d4, multiplied twice for kime, plus like 3 to 5 damage, direct to hit points. If you bought your ticket for Strip Mall Warrior 2, Fall Into the Gap, hoping to see a fleece sweater decapitation, you are in luck, my friend. Just about any character under level 5, and many above level 5, will be one-shotted, swiftly decapitated by this single textile-based attack. In fact, and here's one little last bit of rules mastery, leap attack allows you to attack two people at the same time if they're both close enough to you at the end point of your leap. So over the course of 5 levels and about 30 pages of intensive rules lawyering that we've gone through in this book, in Ninjas and Super Spies, we've gone from a mere level 1 strip mall warrior who's out there killing people with dragon figurines and cell phone covers that he got at a kiosk, to a badass who can walk up to the Hot Topic, grab a Rick and Morty t-shirt, a show he has never heard of, and leap over to decapitate two people in one fluid motion with it. The mall is his slaughterhouse, and we are all merely his cows. Technically, I guess the dumbest thing on this page is the leap attack rules. Doing double damage simultaneously against two opponents, just because you happen to be in mid-air at the time, is a really bad idea, especially because crits stack. But remember the word of the day, evolution. This is about the aggregate of bad and ill-considered ideas that have led up to the horror of Strip Mall Warrior 2, Fall Into the Gap. So this is kind of where the dumbness has reached critical mass. Leap attack is just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Join me next time on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big chunk for your binging convenience. Contact or check out the podcast wherever you want. It is Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Ninjas and Super Spies, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Ciambietta. This slightly annoying theme song is Cartoon Battle by Kevin MacLeod, whose work you can find at Incompetech.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.